Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know something is wrong, and it's time to stand up. You are listening to the John Age Show.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age, and I am your host, John Age, coming at you in the wee hours of the AM, my favorite time, baby. The dark side of the AM. I'll be your tour guide this evening as we take a somewhat satirical journey down the path of murder, destruction, mayhem, and the extermination of human life on this planet, a forced march into obsolescence thrust upon us by a global satanic death cult of pedophiles. Check out AnomicAge.com if you will, if you can, if you shall. PayPal.me/AnomicAge, Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. That's the best two ways that you can help this show. So I often say this, and it often falls on deaf ears, but I could really use the help, and this show is free for you, but certainly not free for me. So if you are so inclined, again, paypal.me/AnomicAge. You can just make a donation, however little or however much you want. Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. My goal is just to get the basic of most basic bills for this website paid for. That's all I'm looking for, folks. So you might think it's inconsequential if it's just a dollar, if it's a couple bucks here or there. It's not. I assure you, it's not. Promise. So you could also find the free newsletter, subscribe by email link, the lightning link if you want to shoot me some shitoshis. I had a wonderful week of guests this weekend, and we got two more coming up tomorrow. So I highly recommend sticking around. We missed today. We had every day booked this week, and it was just a scheduling thing. It was really on my end. But we're going to have two guests tomorrow starting at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. And then we'll have another one at 3. So please check it out if you are so inclined. You can be streaming this thing live via Facebook or Twitter, or you can just get the reruns, if you will, what have you. All right, tonight's episode, Monsters on Main Street. And full disclosure, I'll give you the Twilight Zone link for this if you want to. It's this one right here you're seeing on your screen. The monsters are due on Maple Street. So it's a little bit of a turn of phrase there from the Rod Serling classic, but not by much. Title of this episode, 264, Monsters on Main Street. And I'm sort of conflating two. This is The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street and one of my other all-time personal favorite Twilight Zones, The Shelter, both of them by Rod Serling, one of which 1960 and the other 1961. So somebody's going, what does this have to do with anything, John? Well, I'll give you the basics here. Let me show this. I already talked about this with Kevin Thompson last week, but here we go if you missed it. Las Vegas police watched mysterious light fall from the sky. Then came the reports of alien sightings. Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, if you missed it, there was reports of 8 to 10 foot alien beings. There was film footage There was officer cam footage from this whole thing. And it draws a lot of comparisons to a few months back when it was the weather balloon thing. And then there was the other object that wasn't confirmed to be a weather balloon or otherwise. You know, it's just, for me, we're seeing more of the same, folks. We're seeing weapons of mass distraction. And I'm not claiming that aliens aren't real. I love, not all, but I love a little bit of Screeching Weasel from the Boogada Boogada Boogada. I believe in UFOs. I believe in UFOs. Yeah. Well, I do. But that's just a side note. Because when you get into this topic, don't worry, I'm coming back around. When you get into this topic, there are so many weird, weird places you can go. And the Christian fundamentalist, if you will, are always going to say, it's demons, everything's a demon, I tell you. It's all demonic, okay? And then you've got the true believers on the alien side of things. It's all aliens. It's all little green men in weird tin cans that made it light years away, and here they are, and so forth and so on. There's so many different avenues for this. There's the supposition that aliens are time travelers, and it's just us. It's just us coming back to the past from the future to give some sort of, I'm not sure what. And there's so many different eras of the alien agenda, if you will. I mean, there's the some of the first big flaps of the 1950s. You know, the Kenneth, I was going to say Kenneth Arnold, but that wasn't in the 1950s. You know, there's the obvious Roswell. There's the Betty and Barney Hill. And in the early era, at least in popular culture, they were always giving us some sort of warning that we're fouling up the earth. You know, this is the first big flaps in, I suppose, modern historical era would be after World War II. And it's predicated on the supposition that they're coming to warn us from our folly of destroying the earth with nuclear bombs. So there's that. I mean, there's that incarnation of them. There's the Nordics. There's the blonde-haired, blue eyes. Some would say even beautiful, seductress sort of aliens that were in the mix as well. There's when we got into the abductions, and we got into taking people without their consent and all that stuff. You know, we fall into the book Communion, which really gives, you know, that stark image of the Greys, which for me was just popularized by the skateboard company Alien Workshop. I love those. I got a great shirt from them somewhere. It's retro now. But, you know, I'm sort of chronicling the different eras of the aliens. And there's, of course, all the archaeological evidence, whether or not you're talking about archaeological evidence of via Egypt, in Europe. And, of course, for me, most notably, because I find these cultures the most interesting, I could care less about the Egyptians. But I find the most interesting being the Mayans, the Aztecs, and the Olmecs. Of course, we're seeing all sorts of talk of aliens and half-reptilian beings with Quetzalcoatl and Kukulkan and the like, you know, all that smattering over several hundred and several thousand years. But that's kind of why I don't believe the hype where it's all just aliens, little green men. It's all just demons. It's all just us. I mean, there's so many different avenues that you could explore with this topic. I'm not going to explore any of them this evening. I'm just going to give you the rundown, if you will. So I think the truth sort of lies somewhere in the middle of all of it. You know, some of these crafts are our own, check. Some of these crafts seem to clearly be not ours. I'll just say that. I was going to say not of this world, you know, old Danzig song. I don't know about that. I don't know where they're coming from. They clearly don't appear to be ours, meaning ours in 2023, our known technology. Just because of the flight speed and the angular turns and so forth. I mean, this has been commonplace for over 50 years, these sort of incidents, if you will. But all that sort of belies the greater question, why are they popularizing it yet again? Why are they bringing out this archetypal image again? And I would suggest, like I did about 10 minutes ago, it's nothing more than a weapon of mass distraction. That's at least my take on it. Could be wrong, could be right. You know, I believe it was Ronald Reagan that said something to the effect of, what's it going to take to unify us? Well, it would take some sort of extraterrestrial alien presence coming to befall great hardship and danger upon us all, and that would unify us, I suppose, a la War of the Worlds. And we'd all come together right now over aliens. I don't know. I don't know if that's rose-colored glasses. I just don't know if that would occur. But that brings us to the point and to the aforementioned premise of the Monsters on Main Street from the turn of phrase Rod Serling classic from The Twilight Zone, that episode. And if you really know nothing about Rod Serling, you should really look into him. He's a fascinating, or I suppose was a fascinating man, you know, coming out of World War II, sort of right out of high school into World War II. And then it was very clear his writing style, from his short stories to The Twilight Zone, Planet of the Apes, and so much more, that it was obviously impactful, because so many of the narratives that he spun, what was the other one? Night Gallery, I believe, was another one. But nevertheless, so many of these narratives that he created in these different forms of fiction were clearly heavily influenced by what he went through in World War II. It was definitely very dystopian. It was very sort of communist takeover without really saying it. It was the casualties of war, both the visible and the invisible, that post-traumatic stress and so many of these things mentioned in his work. So I won't belabor that anymore. But the Monsters on Main Street really touched on a theme that I think we should all really take note of. And if you've never seen that episode, please do so on some platform. I'm sure you can find it right about now. But yeah, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street was the title of that one. Monsters on Main Street is mine. But nevertheless, that piece of fiction really explores what might actually happen given just the slightest disruption of the normality of our lives. So I won't give you the whole story, but I'll give you the broad strokes, the cliff notes, if you will. In that episode, the lights in a neighborhood, the power is abruptly taken out. And some sort of rumbling sound and a big flash goes through the sky. And before you know it, we're hearing talks of a comet or some sort of orb entering Earth's atmosphere. I'll just say that. And immediately, you see the usual suspects of human nature begin to unfold. We see that in this very short increment of time, society begins to break down. And it doesn't go into this field of communitas that perhaps Ronald Reagan might have thought it would, but it breaks down quickly, just that fast. People begin to say, oh, well, what's this causing the power outage? What was that bright light and that noise from the sky? What was all that? And before you know it, they have claimed that it's aliens, I tell you. So they begin to immediately turn on each other. They begin to immediately go tribal and look for possible suspects. It's a la an Agatha Christie novel minus I wouldn't say murder, because there's a murder and intrigue in there, but minus some of those obvious elements of the butler did it and the candlesticks and, you know, Colonel whatever in the parlor, you know. So in this story, they immediately begin to break down. They immediately turn on each other. The tribalism takes over. They begin to point fingers. Oh, they obviously begin to criticize and suspect anyone that does not fit the narrative of the day of what normal is. So, oh, this guy spends a little time late at night. We don't know what he's doing in his garage. Lights are on, you know, crazy shadows on the wall. What could he be doing in there, I tell you? And it really just spirals downward from there. Before you know it, a shadow is cast and something is creeping down the stairs. And oh my goodness, they're holding a hammer. There's a struggle. There's a shotgun blast and someone ends up dead. Again, it just gets worse from there. So then the tribalism takes place again and people begin to defend his actions. And others begin to criticize the actions. It's too hasty. He killed someone in cold blood. He was just a guy coming to help out. It wasn't a nefarious alien creature at all. It was someone they knew that was now dead at the hands of an overreaction to the circumstances, a breakdown of the normality, the tribalism, the finger pointing, and the murder. And before you know it, those two factions rumble and go back and forth, and then they've chased the guy out into the street, and they're stoning him because he did what probably they all wanted to do. In a hasty manner, he shot someone that they had identified as the Spectre. So, and as the final moments of the episode close, you realize that it actually was aliens that did it. They were just sort of running a test op on the subjects, and they figured, wow, this really works way easier than invasion with saucers and laser beams or some sort of other off-world technology. All we had to do was turn off their power for a few moments, disrupt the normality, and the society broke down oh so quickly. Into chaos, into bloodshed, into tribalism, into neighbor turning against neighbor. So I say all that to say this, folks. It is a cautionary tale, but a tale nonetheless that we need to take heed of. Perhaps I'll go into the other one at another time. I don't think I have the time for it this evening, but I highly recommend The Shelter as well. The Shelter, another great Twilight Zone episode, a cautionary tale. Because I fear that whether it's a legitimate alien sighting or whether it's a Operation Blue Beam or whether it's just more clever false flag operations run by our government or some government, who knows? Could be the Russians. Nevertheless, folks, I think we need to heed this cautionary tale. We need to keep from turning against one another. Because odds are you're not going to find the real enemy next door. You're not going to find the real enemy in a UFO. Because the real enemy would be the people pulling the strings, wouldn't it? That's not your neighbor next door. It's not the superintendent. It's not the mayor. It's not even the governor, folks. It goes way higher than that. There's a great Reagan youth song that I was going to talk about. I'll give you a little teaser on it. But the part that I really like, I'll put it on the screen for you. And the song sort of takes you through this trajectory of everything's great. Everything's fine. We're out at a barbecue. It's sunny. We got our transistor radio. Everything's going just fine. We got our hot dogs. We got our American Bruce. And then you realize the hot dog is you. You realize that your goose is cooked. And they're talking about the bombs start falling and everything goes south and their transistor radio won't work and they can't get their hot dogs nor their beers and it's just all chaos, folks. It's a beautiful day, saith Reagan Youth from this old classic. Yeah, that's when those bombs start falling. We wonder, where's our transistor radio, huh? What are you going to turn to? What's going on? Yeah, folks. What's going to happen when the proverbial stuff really does hit the fan? Be that the Russians have just had enough. Be that the aliens have finally come for us. Be that from the Bible revelation moment. What's it going to be? What's going to happen when this pops off? Well, I can tell you, if it's the revelation moment, ain't going to be nothing you can do. But if it's any of the other aforementioned, it's not really the time to turn against each other. It's not really the time to go crazy, to go critical mass. It's the time to be calm. It's the time to prepare and unify towards the common enemy. Whatever at that point in time that common enemy is. I mean, I would suggest, as I have many times on the show, the common enemy is one arm of it's out of D.C., another arm of it's out of London, another arm of it's from the Vatican. You know, it's all roads lead to some of these same locales. But the globalist at large, if you just want to use that parlance of the day, that'd be your real enemy, folks. Their henchmen are going to come in the form of police and military and UN troops and ne'er-do-wells and Karens and the like. But, I mean, if that's if you're just trying to take out henchmen, well, there's that. But if you're trying to take out the real enemy, well, you'll have to find them and figure out who they are for yourself. But when the stuff hits the fan, I'm not suggesting any violence, by the way, but if the stuff hits the fan, you got to unify and try to hunker down and do as well as you can for as long as you can. That's going to mean a impromptu community, a communitas, if you will. You need to have some friends and neighbors that know how to sew, that know how to garden, that know how to repair, mechanics, electricians, builders, and the like. You need all that, folks. But odds are most of us aren't going to have the luxury of that, so it's definitely time to prepare. Because those monsters really will be on Main Street. They will be in the form of your friends and neighbors who have not prepared, who have not done their own due diligence in the times of sunshine. You know what I mean? Got to make hay while the sun shines. Well, you got to make hay while the sun shines in getting prepared for what is coming down on you. Because when the darkness hits, so to speak, you won't be making any hay. Your modes of production will be nil. And you'll have whatever you got. If it's a couple MREs and a box of shells, and that's what you got. So now's the time, while we still got a little sunshine, to make some hay. And if you're in a situation where you think your neighbors could be a problem, well, you might need to talk to them and say, hey, might need to make some hay, guys. It might be that time. Might be that time, folks. Just say it. Because before you know it, the monsters really will be on Main Street. I mean, if you really want to look at our current society right now, heck, the monsters may already be on Main Street, folks, depending on where you're living. If you're living in one of these communist bleep holes, I'm pretty sure I don't need to tell you what you already know. It's on Main Street. Yeah. If you're going out to one of these rallies, one of these events, these communist-oriented things, well, I don't have to tell you. Well, they had that big tranny rally or whatever in D.C. at the White House, got some tranny out there with her shaking its wares, I'll say that. All kinds of immorality that you might have expected at the local tranny rally or at the local drag queen story hour or at the local pride parade, except this time it was in D.C., the District of Criminals. Right there in front of old Chairman Biden, calling these people the greatest heroes of all time. Heavens to Murgatroyd. They are the masters of the universe, folks. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, yeah, I mean, if you saw any of that, then you already know the monsters are on Main Street. Holy cow, folks. So we got to stabilize ourselves. We've got to breathe in the old oxygen, exhale the old carbon dioxide, say a little prayer, try to be calm. And the best way to alleviate stress is preparation, whether or not we're talking about a test or what this might be, the ultimate test, the test of survival. Huh? The globalists are going to be tucked away in their bunkers here and far and near and far and whatever, all those little islands off Australia, they'll be tucked away there. They've got their bunkers all set up. And they're just going to sit back and relax. Why old Charlie Manson's dreams come to pass, I guess. And we'll see a little helter-skelter. And then we'll see the real unfurling of monsters on Main Street, won't we, folks? I mean, if you thought the summer of rage from a couple summers back, how many billions were urinated away on that? If you thought that was something, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet. Turn off the power. Turn off those EBT cards. Stop those trucks from rolling and those tankers from filling the tanks. Have mercy, folks. We're going to see some stuff. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope this is not the summer that we're going to see that. I mean, I think I thought we were going to see a lot more action last summer, and thankfully to God that we did not. So hopefully it'll just be another boring summer, right? How's that song go? Uh-huh. So, I can't remember the song. Anyway, it's not time for another song. We've already discussed enough this evening. You can't do everything, but you can do something. Try to get out there, do your part, make a difference, and get yourself ready for the monsters on Main Street, folks. I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Enigma Cage.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age Project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anomicage.com. That's anomicage.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.